Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
How soon we forget that our purpose here on earth is to be an offering. You know, that's the way the Apostle Paul felt. He spent a year and a half at Corinth preaching, teaching, growing the church there. Corinth was not a place that he had chosen. It was a place chosen for him by God. He wasn't there because he wanted to be. I mean, Corinth was so wicked and evil that even sailors blushed at the very mention of its name. Now, it takes a lot to make a sailor blush. So you can imagine how repulsive it was to a Orthodox Jew, like Paul was before he became a Christian, to be in a place like that. And after leaving Corinth for 1 year, he couldn't believe what he was hearing. He wrote back a letter to Corinth, to the church, to their church, to our church, saying that we have a plague of problems. They beseech us on every side, and they stop us from having unity, even in our fellowship. I remember a professor at Southwestern Seminary. Once the book was out by Hal Lindsey that Satan is alive and well, his response was, "Satan is alive, but he is not well. He is mortally wounded." Redemption is the reason that we unify. It is the purpose of redemption, to unify us with the Father and with our brothers and sisters. The answer is simply that we are to be what Jesus prayed we would be in John 17, that we would be one, that we would be one. Everyone who is born again, calling Jesus Savior and Lord, has become a member of the church, the family of God. It doesn't matter what color you are or what social standing you have. It doesn't make any difference whether you're a slave or a freeman. It doesn't matter whether you have now or you have ever been in jail or on drugs or on alcohol. It just doesn't matter. You are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter if you've received recognition from the world or you've been kicked out of society. It doesn't matter whether you're old or young or fat or skinny. These things don't matter. It doesn't matter if you have teeth or you're without teeth. You're still my brother or sister in Christ. Especially if I know you're without teeth, because then you can't bite. It doesn't matter whether you sit on your hands, or you hold your hands up high, or you have no hands at all. It doesn't make any difference. The truth is that each of us is a human being that has been made by God in His likeness. And those who have been born again have been remade, reconstructed, made new creatures, fit for heaven, fit for eternal life. That means those of us who consider Jesus number one in our lives have unity. You know, there are many things that qualify as unity. Unity within the party or unity within the confines of our society sometimes means choosing sides. There are no sides in Christ Jesus. There are those who are saved and those who are not saved, and that's all. There aren't any prejudices about skin color or language or place of origin or anything else. It is simply whether or not you have received Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, as each newborn creature has. That is what gives us life. That is what makes us part of the family of God. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you love us. You care for us more than sometimes we care for ourselves. You care for us in such a way that you don't look at our skin pigmentation or at our, whether we have talents or gifts or whether, nothing matters. The only thing that matters is have we received Jesus Christ into our life. And you are trying desperately to get each one of us who is made in your image to receive Jesus Christ into our life. That is what holds us together. That is what binds us together. We are bound by a common purpose, the purpose of loving one another, of caring for you, of doing what you tell us to do, of walking where you tell us to walk. For that is becoming a member of your family. Father, if there's anything that I would say that is not in perfect keeping with your will, then Father, we pray that you would cast that out, that that would never be heard again. But Father, those things that exalt you, that are true, those things that are powered by you, those are the things we ought to hear. Those are the things we want to hear. Here we are, Father. Send your Holy Spirit down upon this place, into this place in a mighty way, that we may hear your words today. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to be reading today from 1 Corinthians. I'll be reading from chapter 12, verse 13 and following. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if we were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable are on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. What Paul is telling each of us is that the ministry of the church is the ministry of people. There are no second-class people in the church. It doesn't make a difference whether you have a gift or that's exposed to the public or not. You are of no less value to the church. The church lives because the people within it who are living stones are alive to Christ. When a church dies, it withers not because brick and mortar begin to crumble. It doesn't wither because the pews grow old and crack and craze. It doesn't grow old because the carpet is old. It withers and dies because the people wither and die in their passion for Christ. I think that to illustrate this, I'll use a true story of a young minister in Oklahoma. The young minister went to a small church that was almost dead, and he decided that that would give him an opportunity to bring that church into a resurrection, back to life again. And he really, really worked at it. He put everything he had into it. I mean, he read every book on church growth. He did everything he could to form small groups and try to get people to evangelize one to another, and then one to another, and then one, because he believed in the multiplication of people. And he even preached sermons that he had heard preached at other churches that were growing. He tried everything he could. He put in his best effort to bring that church alive. But he failed. He failed. And so one day he went to the newspaper, the local newspaper, and he said, "The church has died. Its funeral will be at 3:00 next Sunday." Well, the place was absolutely crowded. It never had been before. But people were curious. People were actually standing outside, tiptoed, looking through the windows to see what was about to happen with the funeral service for the church. And there was a coffin that he had placed down beneath the altar, and it was covered with flowers. And he preached the eulogy of the church with everything that was within him. Then he got down and he brushed off the flowers, opened the coffin, and asked all the members of the church and of the general population to come and look inside. They came and looked inside, and some were shocked, and some fell back on themselves as they were walking out and fainted. There were lots of reactions. Because you see what the young pastor had done, he had put a long mirror inside the coffin. As everyone looked down, they saw a reflection of themselves.
We are the church. We're the church. We're the church triumphant. There is nothing we can't do because we are the church. It doesn't make any difference if we have a great filled auditorium or we have one that's partially filled. It doesn't make any difference. We are the church. Into us, God has poured an incredible vessel. He has poured into us the likeness of Jesus Christ. We are to carry that into the world. People are to hear our voice and see us, and they're to know the works of Jesus take place within this place. You know, sometimes I'm really disheartened because there will be pastors who meet me and say, oh, well, you're that church that does thus and such. Oh, that's great, and blah, 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 blah. I say, I just try to get out of the way. Sometimes getting out of the way is the hardest thing we can do. And yet that is only purpose of our life is to get out of the way and let God be God. Let God do what only God can do. The church is the people in it. They will be set aside and made holy to please the Lord. We are commissioned to give His word to every man, woman, and child made in the image of God in the world. Paul said, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ezekiel said, I stand on the wall to warn of danger. Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Send me. Are we ready for that great commission? Are we prepared to receive what only God can do? He wants us to be available for the work that He will do, not only here, but everywhere. He wants the church to be His representative in this earth. Mendelssohn, the great composer, visited a cathedral on one occasion, and he asked the organist if he could play the organ. The organist said no. Didn't recognize the man, didn't know the man. After a while, after discussion and whatnot, he decided he would let this man try and play the organ. Mendelssohn sat down, and the music coming from the master's hand echoed around the chamber. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. And the organist said to Mendelssohn, who are you? And Mendelssohn said, I am Mendelssohn. And the organist said, and just think, I almost didn't let you play. God wants all of us, each of us, to play our part, to use the tools that the Holy Spirit provides that we could be useful to Him. He wants us to be a unified, diversified, sacrificial church. He wants us to give away everything we have every day. He wants us to give it away regardless of what we are expecting. You know, I read an article in Christianity Today about giving money to people. It said that people in our culture didn't want to give money without something attached to it, that we tended to want a result. And so we wanted to make sure that when we gave to someone, that they used the money the way it was intended to be used, not on drugs or alcohol or, you know, whatever, but to be used for the purpose that we used it. And this same thing incorporates our will to give to foreigners. But they've done a study. And the study shows that if you give money to a foreign country, if you give money to a person in Africa, or you give money to a person, and there are no strings attached, in Latin America, wherever, and there are no strings attached, the person will not use it for destructive purposes. He will use it to fix the hole in the roof. He will use it to put up a bed instead of sleeping on the floor. He will use it to get medicine for his children. He will use it for good things, the things that we would want him to use it for. Too often, we're divided because of things like that. We don't want to give money to someone, or we don't want to give something to somebody because we want to control it. Jesus said, freely you've been given, freely give. Do you think that when the world sees you, they see the body of Christ? Do you think that you make a good impression with your life? Is your life really a good impression to the coworkers you have and to the places that you go? Is your life really making a good impression? Are your acts of greed, your hostility, your prejudice, your fear saying to the people in the world, I don't want anything to do with them? Too often the world sees what it only wants to see, doesn't see beneath things. The world looks at the church and doesn't find that we are unified, and therefore it doesn't hear the voice of the church calling people away from the fight and the struggle that they have into the wholeness of Jesus Christ. We're the only organization, once someone said, that shoots its wounded. I think the church is like that. I think the church looks for the weakest member in order to say, well, I'm not like them. We don't like to see people suffer. We don't like to see them in pain. We don't want to hear people stories about their suffering and pain. We don't just turn the other cheek, we turn away. Here is a newsflash. God's not turning away. He's looking for the people that we turn away from. He's looking for those people. He wants those people to know that there is newness of life available to each and every one of them. He didn't send his only begotten Son into the world so that the justified, the people that were already godly, the people who were already in a one with him, would be saved. He sent his only Son into this world that sinners like you and I might be saved. He loves the outcast, the left behind, the scum of the earth, the socially unwelcome. Loves the people of our church so much that he has sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in each and every one of us. He's given us gifts when he comes in. Gifts to each and every one of us to use as tools to create a new world where people hear our voice and they hear the good news and they're turned from their wicked ways back to the works of Jesus. We are the church triumphant. God has given us everything we need, every tool we need to be triumphant. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. We are the church. Are we willing to be all that God has created us to be? Are we willing to pour our lives out every day for people that God loves? And that means everybody. Are we willing to be a part of that? Are we willing to do what God asks for each of us to do? Paul says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. You know, he uses the body. I will use the body to make this one last connection. There are cells in your body because God has created them. There are cells in your body that perform a function for which they were made. And they come to the aid of those other cells that are weaker and are failing. And they try to help whenever and wherever they find the opportunity. There are little white corpuscles or cells that race to an infection. We are to race. Run headlong into the battle. There is a battle going on that is for every human soul. The devil is trying his very best to separate us, to make us disunified. Sometimes it's our culture, and we don't understand, or we don't like this, or we don't like that, or they do this, or they do that. There is no they in Jesus Christ. There is just us. God alone knows whether we have said, like Isaiah, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." This is the opportunity we have at the end of every service for people to come forward and allow God to publicly knight you to be his soldier of the cross. This is the time when we invite people who have never accepted Jesus Christ to accept him for the life that he has within him, to accept his love, to accept his sacrifice on the cross as yours, to receive him as the Lord of your life. This is that time when we offer for people who've walked away to come back into the fold, to give everything you have, to rededicate your life. This is that time when we ask people to come forward who may want to be baptized or who need in some way to give testimony of their faith to God. This is a solemn moment.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.